Okay, today's daf is daf tet, and we begin from the mission is halacha tet. Yes, bseder. Let's begin. Matzah sfarim. If you find some sfarim, now sfarim in those days were in scrolls, and importantly, if they were left scrolled up in that state for a long time, they would start decaying. It seems to me they need to be opened and aired in order to care for it. So what the mission is talking about is, yes, you're looking after the last item, but you also have a responsibility to care for it to an extent. Can you be compensated? We'll get to that as well when we discuss the Gemara. So it says, Matzah, Sfarim, Korobim, you should open them up and read them once every 30 days. If you don't know how to read, just simply scroll, open them and scroll them. Golalam. If this is a new sefer you've never learned before, or sugi, or whatever it is, then you shouldn't open it for the first time because we're scared you might overuse this item and actually damage it, if you like. Somebody else shouldn't read it with you. We're scared that one will pull it one way and pull the other and end up tearing it. Similarly, matzah ksut, if you find some clothing, minna'ara, you should check it out once in 30 days, achat shoshim yom. Veshotcha, you spread out l'tzorcha for its needs if it needs to be aired. However, aval lo lichvodo, not if you're trying to, you've got guests and you want to show you're very nice, you're sort of benefiting from the fact that these things are on display. Okay, it's klei kesef, klei nechosim, mishtabesh behem l'tzorchan, aval lo l'shochakan. Interesting, when it comes to silver and gold, you've got to use it l'tzorchan. Now, what the explanation here, according to Mara Fulda, is why it's because, oh, sorry, I just saw Ruby Strauss trying to get in. Because mit afshin bakarka, because shetzerich liten bakarka zoshmiratan, because even gold and silver is very valuable, the way to look after in terms of protect it was to bury it. But if you leave it in the ground, it's actually going to also start rusting, whatever it is. Well, not rusting, but it'll end up getting ruined. So therefore, you can use them every so often. Aval l'shochkan, meaning don't use them for a long time because you don't want to wear it out. Klei zahav v'klei zchuchit. Sorry, before it was klei kesef and nechosh, not gold and silver. It was silver and copper. Now we're talking about gold and glass. Lo yigah behem, you shouldn't touch it. Much evo yaleal, right? Because they won't decay, and you were scared you'll end up, if it's glass, you end up breaking it. So gold doesn't decay, as I said, or rust, and when it comes to silver, it's getting going to break it. Matzah sak or kupa. If you find a sort of a basket or a sack, im da in dar kor litlo harezo lo yito. Now this is when it comes to the interesting dinim when it comes to Hashavat Aveda, that when it says vitalamta mehem, right? That sometimes the special drush from the pasuk, that if it's not lefik vodo, you don't have to pick it up. You don't have to collect it. Like a zaken and a chashuv rav going to pick up some shmat, something that's wouldn't lefik vodo. I don't know. A Hello Kitty pink tutu dress or something like it doesn't seem to fit good. I don't need to carry it. I just made that up. But then you don't have to carry it. That's a masak sako kupa. Okay, fine. So matzasfarim. Tani matzasfarim korbe chatoshim. You would read it once a month. Im eni odea likrot the golalam. If you don't know how to read it, then scroll it. V'lo yikre parsha v'yishneh. You shouldn't read a parsha twice. V'lo parsha v'targem or parsha v'targum. In other words, it's got to air it, but don't overuse it because again it's the balance of looking after it and not wearing it out. You shouldn't open it more than three like columns. And three people should not learn from one kerach. Okay, let's call it a column. Now, or his apartment really, but just to explain why this is, because we talk about two people not doing it. So if you look at the Mara Fulda, he says, then it's okay, zemutar. Two people looking at two different sections, that's okay. It's three that we're worried about. Ah, but the Mishnah says not two. That's when you're talking about the same inyan. Because we're scared there might be, I guess, a bit excited, ended up damaging this parchment. That's bechadashim. That's my new parchment. However, yishem, it's old. Shnei masach chodesh. It doesn't seem to me necessary to air it out as often. Okay, let's continue. Klei kesef mishtamesh behem betzonim. When it comes to silverware, yes, we're meant to use them. You're meant to use them with cold, but not bechamin. Mimnei shemashchiram, because it's going to end up tarnishing it. Klei nechoshet mishtamesh behem bechamim avlo alidei or mimnei shemafchitan. When it comes to copper, we said you're meant to use it every so often, so it doesn't get spoiled like under the ground or rusted, I think it is. But you can use it with hot because that's not going to ruin it, but not on the fire itself because we're scared that it'll end up wearing it away. Magrifot v'kardumot, these are, I thought magrifah is more like a rake, but the translation I saw is more like a shovel, or kardumot is like axes. And these microfoils, usually you see it in talking about ovens, used to scrape out coals and things like that. But mishtamesh bayem barach, aval balaka kasher. Meaning, if you met the mishtamesh bayem, but only things that aren't going to be like hard or abrasive. Magrifa mekabel ba'etatit. A magrifa, you can use it to mekabel. There's another girsa here, megabel, either to mix or move tit cement of the like. However, midicha bin koma, make sure it's cleaned and placed back where it was. Kordom mevakebo etzim, again, an axe, you can use it to cut wood. Avalot sinim va'atzei zait. Now, sinim, even though I'm sure you've seen a different explanation in a different context, but here it seems to be the parish of sinim is dakalim dakim, so it's sort of branches. The idea is it's some sort of harsh, hard branches that it's likely to wear at the axe. Okay, you can see the common theme with all these cases. Okay, keshem she'at omer b'motzeh kachat omer mafkid, interestingly, that just is this responsibility to look after it to a certain extent so it doesn't get decline or decay in your care if you're looking after an object. If you're entrusted with an object to look after it as well, meaning not wasn't a lost item, someone gave it to you, so can you look after this for me? Also, you've had the same dinim. You've got to shake it out once every 3 days. The way the Marfud explains it, he says, that if there's a great torah, an exertion that is involved with you having to look after it, you can request compensation. You want me to look after this? Fine, I can. I don't mind it being my care. But if it's going to be so involved with all these activities and going to, you can ask for compensation. Okay? Or you can collect compensation. Next mission. This is now Mishnah Yud. Eidzui Aveda. What is considered something is lost? Matzah chamor paro im baderach. We see simply a donkey or a cow grazing normally on the road. Ain't ze aveda. It's not considered lost. The owner may have just left them for a bit. That's not considered necessarily lost. Okay. However, chamor v'kalav afuchim. If you think about a donkey where its saddle and all this words, it's like turned upside down, and it's clear that's not in a normal state. Or a para, that's a cow that's running through a kramim, through vineyards. Then, by the context, you can see this is hareza aveda. So, in other words, you've got to use a bit of seichel to understand by context. Is this thing actually locked or not, or is this being placed there and the owner will be back in a few minutes, or allowed it to graze on or move of its own? Hechziro baruch, lest he return and have fled. Hechziro baruch, he return and keeps on fleeing. Afilu chamish, abra v'chamisha pamim. Now, you're still chayev to return a shnei mahashev tashivem. The double lashon says that it's not just yotze once. If this item keeps on getting lost, you're still responsible to return it, even if you start thinking, gosh, this owner is a little bit irresponsible. Okay. Hayaba tel min haselah, lo yomar lo ten li selah, and lo ten lo scharo kupol batel. What this means is let's say you are a highly paid worker who gets an hourly rate very much, of a high fee, and it took you a lot of time to return this. You can be compensated for your time, but you can't say, look, I charge $1,000 an hour, I'm a super lawyer, whatever it is. Like, I therefore pay me those fees. Rather, what you can say is, Tzchar batel is, we've seen the expression a few times, kopoel. I'll show you this kapol, the Mafulda says, first by kapol batel shelo tomalacha de batalmine. Meaning, how much would this person be willing to take a reduced fee so he can do work that's do this instead of his normal work? Okay? Sheimayam nagar or nafach. Let's say he was a carpenter or a smith, which takes effort and exertion. How much would he prefer? How much would he willing to take in a reduced pay? To do some sort of light work like delivering lost items, for example. That's the type of compensation we look at, and not what his actual loss was. However, let's say the person is not willing to give up, lose that money. He says, "Im yesh sham beitin, if there's a beitin, then he can get three people together, or maybe if they're beitin, can make a tanai beitin, then he can claim that money back." However, when it comes, if he's going to suffer a loss at this, and there's no way to stipulate in such a way, then his comes first, meaning he doesn't have to pick it up. And that's going to be a common thing we'll see later on as well, in terms of already seeing, yes, there's a lost item. But first exception is if it's not the fikvud of the person. Second one is if he's going to suffer a particular loss, then he won't be able to be compensated. He also doesn't have to collect it. We'll discuss that a bit more. Matzah berefet, einu chayaba. Let's say he finds it in a refet. Refet's a like a barn or a pen of some sort. Einu chayba, he doesn't have to return it. Now you might think, isn't this obvious? Well, it's referring to, I'll show you here, the Marafulta says, I'm feeling like we're talking about it's found in a pen, it's not locked. Vimba, that's it. And the animal could walk out if it wanted to. In other words, not completely open, that the animals on all sides, animals gonna or many sides, animals gonna run out, because that would be lost. It's not about where it's locked up, because clearly there's nothing you'd have to ever worry about it. Here's talking about where it could get out. In other words, it's in a situation where it could get out, you don't have to worry about it. Okay. Next. Matzah, okay, brusha sarabim in the public domain, chayavah, once again, you have to look after it. Haitaba bina kvarot. Let's say it's amongst the kvarot, as in a cemetery, this animal, and you're a kohen. Kohen is not a become time met, but there's a mitzvah shas about the veda. What do we say? Ain't no chayavah, you don't have to deal with it. Okay, fine. Let's continue. Aviv, what if the father says to him, hitama, or shamalo al tachzir? What if the father says, go be tamemet? Or the father says, don't do Ashavas Aveda. You don't listen to him. Fine. Maral discusses. Pirek v'ta'an, pirek v'ta'an, afilo abar chamisha b'harem. This is talking about not the mitzvah shat Aveda of the prick and tina, meaning that's where you see an animal that is struggling under its load, or rovet, meaning it's actually laid down under its load. Then there's a mitzvah to help unload it. And similarly, also to to'en, also to load it up again. So let's say if you did it many, many times, break it down, right? That you meant to assist the individual. Again, that double lashon. You can see why it's brought in this Mishnah, because we see the same double lashons we saw by Hashavat Aveda. Fair. What if the owner says, ah, you've got a mitzvah? Fantastic. I'm sitting down. Halach v'yashavlo, he takes a seat. He says, it's your mitzvah to do prika, your mitzvah to do tina. I don't have to do anything. And he sits down, the owner of the donkey. We say patu, you don't have to do it. Shnemar imo, because the mitzvah is kitirach hamachasonach rovetz tachat maso. The chaldal temazivo azov ta'azov. What imo? You meant to help him, not in place of him. So if he's not involved, you don't have to get involved. Right? The more to discuss when we get to the Gemara and all these topics. Hayachole zaken. What if the person who owns it is elderly and can't do it, or he's unwell? That's a different situation than obviously chayev. Now the Gemara says, mitzvah min ha-Torah lifrok, aval lo litom. Now, obviously, there's a mitzvah to to'en as well, but what's the Tanakhama talking about? What it means is mitzvah min ha-Torah lifrok, meaning to unload this donkey that is struggling under its load. That is, Marfuda says, bischar. The Gemara will discuss this as well. However, valo liton, meaning liton, sorry, start again. Mitzvah min ha-Torah lifrok, which is bichinam, aval lo liton, but you don't have to load it for free. Okay, so the mitzvah in the Torah is to unload the donkey for free. But even though there's a mitzvah to, if you like, load, that is, well, clearly it says a load, that is for schar. Sorry, I just read the wrong diramacha. Aval lo liton, that's b'chinam ne'el v'schar. However, Rabbi Shimon omer, af liton, meaning there's also a mitzvah, you have to help load also for free. So the machloket is really when it comes to te'ina, loading it up, is it in the Torah b'chinam, or is it, can you get compensation for it? That is the machloket Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, and we'll discuss that as well in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Gwilomer, if the owner was just stupid and loaded this donkey up like crazy, then you don't have to, there's no mitzvah to help him. Shineamar, tachat masa'o, masa'i shehu yachol la'amod bo. Meaning, when it's talking about the donkey was struggling under its load, that is a load that is masa'i, meaning masa'i that is fit for it. For whatever reason, now it's struggling. But if it's a stupid amount of product that you or load you put on it, that's not what the Torah is referring to. Yeah, that's where you don't have an obligation. Fine.
What about Tzar Bala Chaim in that
Oh, yeah, fair.
case?
We'll discuss Tzar Bala Chaim soon when we get to Gemara. Okay? Because that comes up, you'll see, we'll continue, right? So, Amalo Aviv. This back to the case where the father tells him to go and tame or shamalo, al tichzir don't return. Harezo lo yishmalo. The Gemara says, Bechol ta, what are you talking about? Every place you are talking about mitzvah aseh, kodemet mitzvah lot aseh, we say aseh can be doche lot aseh. So if the father says you've got a mitzvah kibbutz em, go and become a met to a kohen, and there's a mitzvah lot aseh to become tamei met, watch you listening, aseh doche lot aseh. So the v'katama im mitzvah aseh kodemet the mitzvah lot aseh. So Gemara says shniyah it's different. Why? Shehu va'aviv chayiv bichvod makom. It's different, meaning. Both of you, mean the father and the child, is mechuyev to listen to the Dvar Hashem, and therefore it seems to be there's no mitzvah of kibud av in this context, and therefore that's why you don't have to listen to him. Okay, let's continue. Tani rovetz v'lo rav tzan. So again, now we're going to the cases of which was the direction Menachem was asking questions of Tabat Lachaim and the like. But Tani Rovetz V'lo Rav Tzan, Rovetz means that it was, again, it was lying, literally lying down, but it was struggling under this load. V'lo Rav Tzan. What does it mean, lo Rav Tzan? So it may, I'll explain in a minute. Rav Tzan meaning it seems to be an animal that seems to struggle a lot. We'll just get to the, you know, we'll get, we'll see the comparison in a minute. The Chazara Tani Porekimo Afilu Me'a Pa'amim Bayom. It also says that you've got to help unload it, even if it requires you need assist the person 100 times during the day. Isn't this a Rav Tzan? Doesn't it sound like it's a Rav Tzan? An animal that seems to be falling, like collapsing under a load so much. So what does it mean, a Rav Tzan? If you're chayv to help 100 times, it seems there's a contradiction. So the Gemara says, Handa Tema Rovetz. Garmi. This is an animal that is it's lying down the whole time because like it just can't be bothered walking. It's not an issue with a load, it chooses to. And that situation, you don't have to help the owner picking up because the guy's got a nunnik animal. The whole concept is when it's be'ones. That's da'anis. That's when an animal it wants to do the work, but for no reason it's sort of collapsing under the load. That's what the mitzvah is talking about. But a nunnik animal that seems to be just a disobedient, wants to sit down every so often, that's not what the Torah is talking about. That's a mi'ut of rovetz v'lo ravtza. Yafe. Okay, let's continue. Tani, we just did that. Next, ki tifga. Now this is referring to the mitzvah of ki tifga shoroi v'char chamot to'er hashev teshiveinu. This is where you find your animal friend back to Hashavat Aveda for a minute. Which is you find, and it says kitifka netifka, like pogea tifka, seems to be you've encountered it, meaning I'm right next to it. Yachol pgia mamash. Does it mean that only if I'm mamash, really in arm's reach of this animal? Tamaloma kitir'eh. Now kitir'eh, that's the next one. Kir chomasona charovet tachmaso. Tir'eh is I can see it. Now see it can be for a very very far distance. See tir'eh chol afir rachok. Malomil, does it even mean if it's a kilometer away, I have to now race after this animal and try and save it? Tamaloma ki tifka. So it seems to be the Torah is having a balance between tifka and tir'eh, even though the tir'eh is referring to the mitzvah of te'ina and prika. But it seems to be the Gemara is connecting the two together. So it says, ha ketzad, shu chachamim, that the chachamim made a balance, they made a shear. That doesn't mean you have to be right next to it, it can be at a distance from it, but it's not because of tifka, doesn't mean it's as far as your eye can see. So therefore, Shiur Chachamim, Shiva Mechetz Lamil, which is 7/5 or 2/15, if you like, of a mil, which is a ris. Now that's an interesting Lashon, because that's a Lashon we have in the Mishnah, by the way, with the Masechta Yoma. Do I have it here? Yeah. The same Lashon is, it says, where it talks about I've got the Mishnah here. This is referring to the distance from Yerushalayim to the Tzuk where they sent off the Seir Mishdaleach. And there it says the distance was tishim ris, shivimu mechetzah lekol mil. Same lashon, shivimu mechetzah lekol mil. So that's where we have this ris. So now you know exactly why we have this concept of a ris, because at least this ris is what is used by Chachamim in this context as its own shear of that's the distance that someone is considered close enough that you have to worry about hashavat aveda. Okay, let's continue. Azov ta'azov zu prika hakem takim zeu te'ina. Okay, we have to understand what this means in a minute. Reb Shimon Yochai, kachto. So this, what is doing now, we're going to go through all this with the Mar Fulda, because this comes to explain the debate in the Chachamim regarding whether, when it comes to Te'ina, it has to be also Bechinam or not. Okay, between Reb Shimon and Chachamim. Because the consequence of this, I'll just show you the continuation, and then we'll do all in the Mar Fulda to explain it. Hamor goy umasoish l'Israel, if they go Hamor of a goy, sorry, back a lot. I missed the line. Hamor Israel umasoy shel goy. So it's a Jewish owner of this donkey, and it's happened to be carrying a load of a goy. Everyone agrees that the mitzvah of porek v'to'en applies because it's a Jewish owner's donkey. However, hamor goy umasoy shel Israel. What if the donkey belongs to a goy? And Israel kedivrei chachamim. We'll see in a second. Lo porek lo to'en. The mitzvah doesn't apply at all. Now, this is where Menachem should be getting more excited. What about mitzvah of Basar Balachai? We'll discuss it in a minute. Kedivrei Rabbi Shimon says, no, porek, yes, v'lo to'en. Yes, you should unload it, but you don't have to load it. So this thing's a bit of work. Let's work through the It's a bit of a long marafolder, but it's worth it. Let's go. It says, Azov ta'azov zilprika. Okay. Now, yesh b'chisaron kis, sh'abehema mitkalkal tachat masa'ot. So in the midst of prika, unloading, you can appreciate why there might be a mitzvah in the Torah to do so, because it's what's called a chisaron kis, because the animal stands is being compromised at the time. It can be damaged, it can be injured, and there's a loss, forget Tzal Bal Chaim for the moment, there's a loss going to be incurred to the owner. That's why it says, that's why the Torah obligates you to do so for free. Meaning reloading it. That's in bochisaran kis. There's no material loss, maybe a loss opportunity in the future, but no existing material loss at the time. The fichach notel, that's why you can get paid. That's what the Gemara says. Dim lo ken, well, how did the Chachamim even get this distinction? Dim lo ken lichtov rachmanantina, then the Torah would should have just told us a mitzvah of reloading it, and kol shekein kal vachomer, I would have known the mitzvah of prika. The fact that the Torah mentions both Ti'in and Prika must mean there's a substantial halachic difference between the two. That's a position of Chachamim. Again, if you meant to do, say, Ti'ina Bechinam, then I wouldn't have needed to teach Prika, meaning unloading, because I would learn a Chal V'Chomer. So the fact that the Torah teaches both, even though one could have been taught a Chal V'Chomer, must mean there's a different din for both of them. And therefore, the Chachamim say, when it comes to prika, there's a chisaron kis. Okay, that has to be done bechinam for free. However, loading in bechizrin, that's when you can get paid for. That's why the Torah mentions both. That's the position of Chachamim. Okay, how does it relate to Tzal Bal Chaim? We'll get to that soon. Rabbi Shimon Amando Kishem prika bechinam. Rabbi Shimon says, no, there's no difference between them whatsoever. Both have to be done for free. V'i kasha. If you want to ask the question, 1 second, why can't I learn it from the Kal V'Chomer if they're exactly the same? Rabbi Shimon for the law Masayim Krak, because the Psukim aren't so clear. Meaning, if I don't mention one of them, I would have thought to say, oh, the Pasuk is referring to Prika, unloading, and not to Te'ina. So I needed to teach both to know that both are a mitzvah. Okay? That's the point. Yeah, fair. So therefore, since it's neither a superfluous, that's why both have to be Bechinam. That's the explanation if you like the debate in the Mishnah. That's Kach Shem Doraita. Umashma the after crowd the prika lo masayim as well. They came perusha tosfot, even though it says unloading, it's not so clear, right? Prika the daf lamed aleph. Ulefize, now we can understand the continuation relates to goy. Hadichti v'chadalta. That way the pasuk says v'chadalta, meaning situation where we're talking ma'at, you're not responsible to do where they're going. Mukminan la, we explained that referring to, that means that in that situation you don't have to assist. Mukminan la b'chamor akum. We're dealing with, that's what in the Baita and Bavli say the Rabbana. That's referring to the miyot that you don't have to worry about the mitzvah of, let's talk about prika, unloading, as to a Jew, v'chadalta in the context of a goy. So if that's the case, al kol kach muchach, it is clear, according to Chachamim, that tsar b'alei chaim lav d'oraita. Meaning, if there's no chiyuv min haTorah to help the goy unload this donkey, then it must mean there's no isur d'oraita, there's no mitzvah d'oraita of tzar bal chayim, according to Chachamim. Because otherwise, of course, you have to help him alone. What difference is goy or not, goy or Jew? There's mitzvah tzar bal chayim. But the fact that the Torah is ma'amad out of a goy means there's no mitzvah. The tzar bal chayim is not d'oraita of Chachamim. It might be d'oraita, it's not Chachamim. V'im ken, if that's the case, chamor akum. If you're mamayet prika, if you're excluding prika in that context from a goy, therefore you don't have to pull rank enough to win. You have to help him at all. That's why. Therefore, that's why it says chamor goy umasoi shlisrael kidibrechaim lo prek lo toin. There's no mitzvot at all. You might want to help him to be a nice guy, but there's no mitzvah. There's no chiyuv in the Torah. There's no chiyuv to go ahead and do so. Aval Rabbi Shimon could still hold that tzar balachaim is doraisa. The chadalta is not talking about the te'ina, sorry, prika, it's talking about te'ina. Meaning there's no chiyuv to help him load it, that's what the miyot is, but it's a mitzvah, the right of tzar bal chayim. That's right, that's v'chein per shor b'tosfot, the behedya, that's why Rabbi Shimon says, porek mishum tzar bal chayim, that's why, like this, like Rabbi Shimon then, that you have to, reason why you have to help him unload it, because the mitzvah, the oraisa of, according to Rabbi Shimon of Tzar Bal Chaim, but there's no chiyuv mishum chadalta to help him reload it. That's how you can understand the debate. Okay? And the machloket is simply over there. So let's just summarize this piece. We have a machloket in the Mishnah regarding when it comes to prika, everyone says you have to do bechina when it comes to a Jew. Te'ina, koi chachamim, you can request a schar, because otherwise the Torah mentioned both prika and te'ina, it would be unnecessary, so it must be bringing different dinim. Rabbi Shimon says, no, they're both required, therefore both have to be a chin, that's point number one. Another nafkimim we find from this debate, according to Rav Mappel, that brings it out, is whether, when it says v'chaldav, it's mema'et ata'akum, whether you see from here, whether Tanakama and the Rebbe Shimon, whether Tzar B'Lachaim is Daraisa. Tzar B'Lachaim that says you don't have to do Prika, it's not Daraisa, you don't have to worry. So therefore, Tzar B'Lachaim is not Daraisa, you don't have to worry about Prika or Te'ina when it comes to a Goy. According to Rebbe Shimon, no. That whole miyut is only regarding loading it up again. But to remove the load, Tzar B'Lachaim is Daraisa. So you've got to go ahead and hold even an Akum. You don't go ahead. You're Mechoyav to. That's it, we're talking about Achiyuv here. Let's continue. This is now the Mishnah. Avedato by Avedat Aviv Shelo Kodemet. Let's say he's lost something and his father lost something, and you find both of them. You're going to have the capacity to look after one. Yours goes first. Again, you don't suffer necessarily have to suffer a loss. Avedato by Rabo. Similarly, if it's your loss and your Rav's Shelo Kodemet. Avedat Aviv Avedat Rabo. What about if it's the father's and his Rav's Shelo Kodemet? So Shel Rabo Kodemet. The Rav's goes first. Because your father brought you to this world, the material world. And the Rav that taught him wisdom, he's bringing the Chayalamazir, so he gets precedence. However, Imayav Shakul Keneged Rabbo, simple understanding is if he is Shakul equal to him, is that also Talmid Chacham, well, Avedat Aviv Kodemet. That's a simple understanding, is what we're talking about. Then the father goes first. Similarly, Hayaviv Nosim Masoid, if they're both carrying a load. Who goes first? Who do you help? Maniach et shel rabo. You help the rav, v'achachach mishal aviv. However, haya aviv rabo b'beit hashvi. Similarly, if they're both in captivity, po deh you redeem the rav before you redeem the father. Right? V'achachach po deh et aviv. Avelim aviv tam l'chacham. If the father is a tam l'chacham, then the father po deh et aviv, v'achachach po deh et rabo. That's the Mishnah. We have lots to discuss when we get to the Gemara. Let's Gemara begins now. Aviv. So tani ezu rabo. What is considered rabbo in the Mishnah? Is it any rabbi he comes across? So the first understanding, the Rebbe Meir says, Kol shepatak lo tchila divrei Rebbe Meir. It seems to be that he who brought him into learning, right? Patach pume is the expression. He tchilil modi, meaning that's next. That's going to be later on the Gemara. But he got him into learning. It could be like a yecheder rav, whatever it is. Okay. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kol shuravcha talmud omena." No, the Rav who was his like a Rav Amufak, like, well, not that talmud Amufak, but you know, he's a Rav. We learn most of chokhmah. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, "Kol she'ire nav." It says b'mishnato. The Girsa Nusach we have different. Afilu b'davar achad b'mishnah. Even if you just taught him one Mishnah. In other words, so now we've suddenly expanded the whole concept of what a Rav could be very, very broadly, to be super restricted to one person. So now could be multiple, sound like multiple people. Rav, now it says Rav held like Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Huda, and Shmuel held like Rabbi Yossi. All these three shittot, and we'll see them all. We'll start with just what's we'll Rav today. Rav ki Rabbi Meir, why? Because Chad Barnash Patach Pumi, the Rav. There was someone who taught him, brought him into learning. The Shama and heard the Damach that he died. Ubaze Ilave, and he did Kriya for him. Understanding is because he did kriya for him. Sounds to be that that's considered. In other words, like that's considered somewhat like the zechiyuv to do kriya for one's rav, and the fact that he did kriya for the person who taught him, he was his like cheder rav, got him into learning. That's see, he holds that rav. That's a qual. That's how he qualifies or understands and defines rabbo. Okay, we'll stop a line early because then you've got Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll see all the shittos the proofs of how they all held what is considered. Ram the Rabbo Shalom da Torah. So, right, call to have a good day, everyone.